Hi guys, and welcome back for another episode of Radcast. This month we're coming to you from the land of extraordinary people, otherwise known as Alder H. Children's Hospital. And we're fortunate to have one of our very own extraordinary people with us in the hot seat today, Dr. Karen Landers, who is a paediatric radiologist here with interests in MSK and non-accidental injury.
Now, I'm actually on placement here at the moment, and it's a really fascinating specialty. I mean, they do some amazing work here. But it's also a specialty with a number of challenges, particularly around recruitment. And then there's also lots of interesting ethical issues that are unique to paediatric radiology as well. So I thought it'd be a good opportunity while I'm here to discuss these things.
Right, so over to you now, Dr. Landers. Could you start by just telling us a bit about your background?
Okay, so I started doing paediatrics before I came into radiology. I did the paediatric membership exam and I loved peds. But I didn't really like being on call all the time, and I could see the way that general paediatrics was going was that the consultants were going to end up resident on call. So I looked around and thought, oh, I quite like radiology. So I applied to get into radiology, and I applied for Mersey because at the time, and it still works like this, we have a process that if you are on the scheme and you want to do paediatrics, you are automatically eligible for training at Alder H in the fifth year. So I came to Liverpool and stayed.
So you wanted all the perks of paediatrics, but with none of the downside of being a paediatrician.
Exactly. The other thing I had was that I used to worry about the patients.
Right.
So I would go out for dinner and I'd be worrying about the kid on the ward. Had they had their antibiotics? Had they had their fluids? Had somebody written them up? Had anybody paid them any attention? And I'd be phoning the ward from Peter Express. Like, you're so stupid. So I thought, you know what, this is much better. If I do radiology, I can make the diagnosis and someone else can worry about the patient.
And do you have any subspecialty interests?
So I do musculoskeletal imaging, and as part of that I do inflicted injury, non-accidental injury.
But I have heard it said that in peds you basically have to be a generalist, don't you? Is that something you would agree with?
Definitely here at Alder H. So we all do everything, but we all have an interest in something. So particularly because we do on call, and on call can be anything coming through the door, we all have to maintain our basic skills. So we all do neuro, we all do ultrasound, we all do screening. But the best thing is that because we all have an interest, there's always someone to ask when you don't know.
Is that something you like about peds, that you get to do a bit of everything?
Yes.
Or you can still have your own bit of a niche.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I could... I wouldn't be the sort of person that could literally look at the pituitary for the rest of my life. You know, I think I'd go insane. I like the fact that every day is different.
So I've done a few sessions with you here, and you clearly love paediatric radiology. And in fact, I've heard you sing your way through an entire fluoro list before. I don't know how the patient felt about that, but yeah, you enjoyed it. So why do you think paediatric radiology is such a good subspecialty?
I think because we do a bit of everything. There is the opportunity to specialise in something, to have an interest, but equally, you don't lose your skills in all the other areas. I think the other thing about paediatrics is that we still do everything. We do screening, we do ultrasound. It's not been devolved to other people. I still report plain films. I love plain film reporting, and I think there's a huge gap for the trainees because they're losing that skill, and it's a great skill. So I think paediatric radiology allows you to maintain all of those skills but still have a special interest in something and still be really good at something.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Do you think that having children of your own changes your perspective when you work somewhere like this?
That's a good question. I think I did paediatrics before and didn't have kids when I did paediatrics. I think having any medical knowledge impacts on how you are with your family, whether they be children or adults. I think, well, my husband would say that he has to cough up a lung before I'll even look at him, because your threshold is definitely higher because you see really sick people and sick children. I think I do worry about things. When my children were born, I measured their heads pretty much on a daily basis because I thought they might have had gremlins. They didn't, thank goodness, but so I did worry. You can't help it. But equally, you get to know what to ignore. So I think it hasn't so much changed my perspective. It's made me a different sort of parent, probably, because of what I know.
Okay. So, of course, when people walk in through the front door and they see the big atrium and the treehouse, it all looks really impressive. But what is it actually like to work at Alder H?
It is impressive. We are very lucky here because we all get on very well. Particularly, I work with a fantastic team at Alder H in the radiology department, but across the hospital. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, I've been paid to, exactly. It's true. It's true. We all get on very well. And I think the other thing about paediatrics is that it is very much consultant delivered. So it's consultant delivered within the radiology department, but it's also consultant delivered across the trust. So you're not, although we do have to deal with the junior doctors. Well, I meant from outside radiology. The ones within radiology are absolutely fantastic. Although we do have to deal with junior doctors, the consultants are available. You know, they're not somewhere remote that we can't access them. If there is a question, if I have a question, there's no issue with me contacting a consultant colleague to have that conversation about a patient or a request. I think that's good.
But I suppose the flip side to that is that because it is consultant-led, there's a lot of demand on you guys, particularly with the on-call. I know the on-call's going to be quite intensive, and you often have to come in because there's only stuff that you can do.
Yes, that's true. And that is a downside. There's no question about that. Certainly as I get older, I'm less inclined to want to get out of bed in the middle of the night. But there is a sick kid on the end of the request. So if they're calling me in the middle of the night because they're worried, then it's not unreasonable for me to come in and do something.
Yeah.
It's difficult. Swings and roundabouts. I love my job. I love the people I work with. The on-call isn't great, but it's risk versus benefit. The risk of having to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning is outweighed by the benefits of working with people.
And sticking with the older hay theme, so I know the BBC have been filming the current series of Hospital in Liverpool, and Alder Hay has been heavily featured on it. And I heard that you had some discussions with the producers when they were in the department about making sure that they featured radiology on the show.
I did, you're right. So they sent, the Trust sent an email round in the beginning saying that the hospital is coming. And was anybody interested in participating? So I contacted the person that made the request and said, actually, it's very important that radiology is involved because radiology is involved in every single patient pathway. There's no patient that comes through this hospital that does not come in some way to the radiology department. And I wanted the TV programme to reflect radiology's input. I think one of the biggest problems with radiology is our lack of recognition. Nobody knows who we are, what we do. My family don't really know what I do. And I think that patients believe that, you know, their consultant surgeon who is pointing randomly at a screen in the clinic is the person that's made that diagnosis, when that's not the truth. And I wanted the series to show that radiology was involved in these pathways.
Have you watched any of it so far?
I watched the one with Conor Malucci and Shivram, and I was delighted to see that Shivram, although his part was only small, it was absolutely crucial because he was the one that told the surgeon what he needed to cut out.
Genuinely, that would have been the first time a lot of people in the public would have seen what a radiologist does and that they make any difference. So,
absolutely.
You should probably take some credit for that.
Wow. If it worked in some small way, when you looked at Twitter afterwards, it was quite nice because lots of people were saying, yay, you can see there's a fantastic radiologist, well done.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch the rest of the series and see if radiology gets featured.
Yeah, again. I think we are in again. I think there's a baby with a cardiac condition that's been filmed. So.
Yeah, I saw them in an MDT. Yeah. It's really interesting just seeing them around the department.
Yeah, so hopefully, because that was the other thing I said, is that I thought the MDT was a really crucial part of a lot of these complex care patients. And I thought it should be demonstrated that, you know, nobody knows how much discussion goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The patients are so unaware of everything that's going on in the background. They don't realise how many people discuss what's going on, how many people are involved, what goes into producing a radiology report or, you know, what's delivered from an MDT. So I wanted that shown.
I think it's about presenting something that's realistic whilst still entertaining for people that want to watch it.
Absolutely.
And I think too many times they go too much towards ticking the entertainment box instead of the realism.
Yeah, realistic, yeah.
Yeah,
I think so. And one of the things they did say when they first came to meet us was that they were trying to present it in a realistic way. They were very interested in the negative things. You know, what is it you don't like? What is your main issue? So we did talk about staffing and we did talk about the MR capacity and the, you know, the limitations we have. But you'll have seen, I don't know, whatever you've watched of it, you'll see the Royal, for example, they were delighted to demonstrate how disastrous the whole Carillion saga has been.
Yeah, and
been.
The flooding. And
the flooding and the fact that they're working in such awful conditions. So hopefully there's a bit of a balance between the NHS crisis and the good stuff that we do, despite all the issues.
Okay, so we all know about the workforce crisis in radiology, but it's particularly acute in peds. So why do you think this is?
I think people are frightened of children.
Right.
I think, I'm not sure how much paediatric radiology experience people are actually getting. We've struggled, our trainees used to get 3 months and now they only get 2 months because there's more of them. And it's great that there are more trainees, but the downside to having more people is that we just haven't got the capacity to give them the time that maybe they should have. So I think people are a bit frightened of it. There's no money in it, so you know I'm not poor, and believe me, I'm, you know, but
you don't strike me as a poor woman, Dr. Landis.
But there's no there's not really any huge, you know, there's no huge private practice. There's
right.
no, I'm never going to be, you know, looking at some footballer's MR knee and working for Everton or Liverpool. It's never going to be like that.
Mm.
So I think some people are put off. And of course, the on-call, it is consultant delivered. So we are consultants on-call. But
do you think that it's having an effect on the service that you provide here?
Yes and no. We have always worked extremely hard to manage the gaps. So on a day-to-day basis, it doesn't make any difference. To be honest with you, if there was one person in the department, it would still run and the stuff would still get done. They just work very, very hard. And occasionally it does happen. But I think for a more long-term view, it's unsustainable. We can't maintain this forever because we're all going to be exhausted. And that's a big worry for me. I don't want my colleagues to all be exhausted and, you know, not want to stay or leave or go off sick. I'm definitely not trying to achieve that. So it is important that we fill our gaps. We have to, in order to provide a sustainable service.
So essentially the service is continuing because you're going above and beyond, but it's not an ideal situation.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is.
So have you got any strategies to try and address it?
So we've just appointed a locum consultant. So he's a chap who's come from Singapore, so he was based at the KK Hospital in Singapore, which is a children's hospital. He came through from an agency, essentially an agency got in touch and said, I believe you're looking for a paediatric radiologist. Are you interested in this guy? So there were some discussions about how we felt about appointing a locum. I was quite adamant in my role as clinical lead that I didn't want to pay a locum more than everybody else, because that's not fair. Everybody else is working really hard, doing extra. I don't think it's fair to give some unknown person a considerable salary when everybody else is, you know, everybody else should get the same.
Yeah.
I mean, they could turn out to be rubbish.
Yeah.
So anyway, we had this whole conversation, and actually the guy we've recruited was really keen to come here. He knew about Alder Hey, so he took an NHS consultant salary, which has been fantastic for us. So he's been in post 2 weeks, I think, and so far so good. So hopefully he'll stay. And, you know, I would certainly consider looking at locums again in the future, if need be, if the gaps were maintained.
I suppose one way of dealing with the workforce crisis would be for radiologists everywhere to be obliged to do some peds work. But do you think that paediatric radiology could actually be safely practiced by an adult radiologist in a district general hospital? Or do you think that really it requires specialist knowledge and regular practice?
I think anyone that has done FRCR has the ability to report a paediatric image, whether that be plain film, cross-sectional imaging, ultrasound. Anybody should be able to do that. I think one of the things that we try and do here is support our colleagues in the peripheral hospitals by saying, look, if you've got something you're worried about, send it to us and we will have a look at it for you and help you with it. I definitely do not want all the paediatric imaging to come here, because that would be impossible. I couldn't deliver the service from here. But I do understand that being a, you know, an adult radiologist with an interest in peds in a DGH where nobody else wants to look at the paediatrics is really tough. So the idea would be to have a kind of, I suppose they call it hub and spoke or whatever it is, but a model whereby the tertiary centre is supporting the peripheral hospitals in delivering the service peripherally.
So consultants here doing sessions in DGHs?
Yeah. So which already exists. So I go to Warrington Hospital once a month. I attend their paediatric MDT and I help them with reporting and ultrasound and screening. They have two people with an interest over there, both of whom are excellent. They don't need me in that they're perfectly capable of delivering the service, but actually having the connection with me and Alder Hay really helps for the complex stuff, the stuff they're not sure about, and actually for getting some feedback, because some of their patients come here and having me go over there means that they can say what happened next, what was it, and that's, I think, also helpful for their education as much as anything else.
Yeah, definitely.
So every now and then you get quite high-profile ethical cases that arise regarding the management of children with particular medical conditions. And we've all heard about these in the media. So as a paediatric radiologist, have you been involved in any of these cases? You don't need to mention any specifically, but...
So we are involved. Often it is to do with the patient has had some sort of imaging that, you know, people are relying on, or decisions are being made based on some of the imaging that's happened. We try and avoid getting involved with the press.
Yeah.
There is no guarantee what you say is what is projected in the media. So we have to be careful. And actually the trust are really fantastic in these scenarios, because they do their best to make sure everybody is informed, right, that everybody knows how to manage, you know, if they're asked or questioned, and yeah, they have been very supportive.
So there is guidance from the management team. Do you have like training sessions or mass emails sent out?
Yeah, you get emails from communications generally saying, you know, this is what's going on, and not necessarily with details of the case per se, but for example, we had a recent case where there were a lot of people outside the trust, outside the front door. So they emailed everyone to say, look, come in the back gate. We've opened a different route for you guys to come into the car park, so you are not having to pass through all of these crowds of people, you know, when you're just trying to get to work.
Is it hard when you're actually involved in the case not to be influenced by what you see in the media?
I'm smiling because I think what you see in the media is often led by people who don't know all the facts. And if you know the facts, you're not influenced by what you see on the telly or hear on the radio.
So another sensitive topic that you're involved in is non-accidental injury. What is your role regarding that within the trust?
So I do, well, we all report skeletal surveys in Alder Hay. Everybody's involved. We do offer double reporting for the surveys that are done here. And we offer a system, a service for imaging that's done elsewhere. So part of that kind of hub and spoke model. So if you have a child that presents in another hospital and there is suspected inflicted injury, they can perform the imaging locally, have it reported by somebody locally, and then I will provide the second opinion or the second report.
So what made you interested in taking that responsibility?
When I took on the job, I stepped into a gap that was left by Professor Carty, who was a fantastic paediatric radiologist. She put paediatric radiology on the map. And one of her interests was inflicted injury or non-accidental injury. When she retired, the job became vacant and I was ready for a job. So I thought, OK, well, I'll do MSK. That's why not. I quite like it. And as part of that came inflicted injury. And it was something that I just started to do. She was fantastic in supporting me. And once you get involved with these cases, you realise how much value there is in what you can provide. And that there are so few people providing it that you don't want to step back. The difficulty I have at the moment is that there's a huge volume of work. So I'm providing the work within the trust and to the peripheral hospitals, but there's a huge volume of expert work that needs to be done. And I just don't have a lot of time at the moment to do it. So
I don't know if you're allowed to tell, but how many cases would you come across in a month?
Roughly? Oh, so I deliver an imaging support service for trusts all over the country, so within the region and as far as south of England, sort of Lake District. It's a huge part of the world, but obviously not to all the hospitals. In a month, well, I've done 6 today.
Okay, yeah, that's perspective.
Now, that's not to say that all of them have been subject to inflicted injury, and some, you know, we'll go down the process, have strategy meetings, and at the end of that, it may be that their decision is made that there has been no incident.
Right.
But the ones that I see is where they've had imaging because there is suspicion.
So do you think it should be the responsibility of all radiologists to report skeletal surveys?
Yes. I'm slightly hesitant because it is really difficult.
Yeah.
And unless you look at a lot of paediatric imaging, it's difficult to know what's normal. But I think if any hospital looks after children, then the radiologists working in that hospital need to be able to report imaging in suspected inflicted injury. And they need to know where to go for help. So, you know, if they are reluctant to provide the single report or to be able to double report it within their own department, then they need to know that they have support from the tertiary centre. I think that's very important.
And have you ever had to give evidence in courts?
Yes.
What's that like?
It's quite scary, really. I should say that, actually, that puts people off and it's not strictly true. So there are two types of court processes. The family court is responsible for deciding what happens to the child. Where should the child go? Should they go back to the parent? Should they go to a grandparent? Should they go for adoption? That's the family court's responsibility. The criminal court's different. The criminal court decides that a crime has been committed and by who. And in the criminal court, you have to prove beyond reasonable doubt that a child has been subject to physical abuse. So there are two different processes. I've been to court for both. Criminal court, you're often sitting in front of a jury, so they have to understand what it is you're trying to say. The lawyers have some understanding, but not as much as you sometimes think. And I think that that is the other thing to bear in mind, is that when we talk as medics in a very specific way. We have a language of our own, and we make certain assumptions that other people understand that. I had a case not long ago where I used in my letter to the clinician a statement I have used previously 1,000 times. And the statement was, in the absence of a clear and satisfactory account of the mechanism of injury or a medical explanation for the fracture, inflicted injury must be excluded. And the letter went off to the paediatrician, and the paediatrician read it and understood it, and the case went to family court. And the judge read my statement in a way I had not even considered it could be interpreted as in this way at all. I hadn't even considered it, literally hadn't considered it. And I said to my husband, who is non-medical and not a lawyer, what does this sentence mean? You know, I said the sentence, yeah. And I said, inflicted injury must be excluded. And he said, yes, it must be excluded. I said, yes, exactly, it must be excluded. And he said, yes, it must be excluded. Except he thought that it meant inflicted injury could not be within the differential of possibilities. It must be excluded a possibility. And that's how the judge read it. And I meant it as, go away and exclude inflicted injury because I'm really worried it could be inflicted injury. And we use that phrase, must be excluded, all the time in radiology. You know, there's a lesion in the femur. Malignancy must be excluded. Yeah. And we all know what we're talking about, and the paediatrician understood me. But once it came outside medical circles, it was open to interpretation. And I had never thought it before. It never even occurred to me that it could mean something different. It made absolute sense to me. It really made me look at my practice, and the statement I now use is finished, inflicted injury must be considered. Because that cannot be misinterpreted. Yeah. And I think that is the difficulty. You go into court not really knowing what it is that they're going to ask, and not really knowing how they've interpreted what you've said, whether they understand what you think.
Do you find it difficult dealing with NAI cases?
I think it's really sad that people don't look after their children. I think it's very sad. Why would anyone want to harm a child? It's terrible. I understand that people can become incredibly frustrated and shake a child because they're literally at the end of their tether, but not all inflicted injury is end of the tether, can't bear another second. Yeah. Some is just mean, and that's hard. And I think one of the reasons I do this work is because if nobody does it, then nobody is going to protect these children. So better that somebody does it.
Yeah. So I know now we've covered some of the perhaps more difficult areas of paediatric radiology, but at the end of the day, it is a great speciality. And even the more unpleasant stuff that we've talked about, it is really important and you are making a difference. So what would be your advice to anybody interested in peds radiology?
Oh, get in touch with us. We'll help you. Definitely. I think wherever you are in the country, contact your tertiary centre. You know, they will support you if you are interested in doing paediatric radiology. There are fellowships out there. You can come, you can do post-CCT training either in the UK or abroad. It is a great specialty. I think most paediatric radiologists I know are nice people. They're nice to work with. They care about their patients. So I think that helps. My advice to anyone when they look for a consultant job is to look at the people you're going to work with. Nothing's set in stone, but you never know. You know, you could end up in a job for 40 years, which sounds very scary. And I think it really matters. I love my job. And the reason I love my job is because I like the people, I love the people I work with. We're there for each other. If you need something, if I don't know something, I've got somebody to ask. And I think that that's quite a paediatric thing, actually.
Okay, great. So thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Landis. That was a fascinating insight into the life of a paediatric radiologist. Make sure you join us again next month, where we'll bring you a review of our time at ECR 19 in Vienna, which we'll both be attending this year to present some work on trainee perceptions of artificial intelligence in radiology. And we'll do our best to see if we can get some interviews done with some of our international colleagues.
In the meantime, you can listen to our previous episodes on anchor.fm/radcast. And if you like them, then please subscribe. You can also listen and subscribe on the Apple Podcast app and Spotify, and I think maybe 7 or 8 different services now as well. For more updates in the meantime, if you're on social media, you can find us at Radcast Podcast on Twitter and at rad.cast on Instagram. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.